My name is Maceo.
My name is Puno.
And this is our podcast.
It's fun! With Puno.
And Maceo. Maceo and Puno.
It's Puno and Maceo.
Whatever. I'm a slashy. You're a slashy. Let's first start with a definition.
Yeah. So slashy, other way you can say it is like multi-hyphenate.
Multidisciplinary. It's the person who, when you're at a party and someone says, what do? You have to start off by saying, well.
Yeah. They never really, this is a new thing because it wasn't like Benjamin Franklin was like, well, I'm a politician slash scientist. Inventor, slash.
Yeah. Right. He was, though. He was a slasher.
He was. I read his book and I was like, this guy is the ultimate slasher.
When I think of what a slashy is, I think of it exactly like you said, someone who actually makes money doing different things.
Oh, really? Because I...
Just having a bunch of hobbies is different.
See, it's interesting, right? Do you need to make a dollar from it? Because I don't know.
You're actively pursuing wage earning from that at the near or long term.
Hmm.
Like otherwise, no, I just do yoga for fun. Is not that doesn't make you a slashy.
But you could be a yogi.
Well, isn't every human being a slashy then? Because we all have different facets. I'm a mom. I'm an uncle. I mean, I'm a mom. I'm a daughter. I'm a sister. I'm a friend.
Yeah.
So that's already a slashy.
I think so.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah.
So then everyone is a slashy.
We're
just talking about how to tap into the different sides of ourselves.
And I think there's a difference when someone says, I am a mom, versus you telling them, oh, you're a mom. When they're like, I'm a mom slash blogger slash pet groomer. Like you at this point are taking it a bit more seriously and having it define you at that moment.
But isn't it your baby that makes you a mom?
Yeah, but like you need to tell people that. You need to be comfortable with owning that. It's almost like that comfort of knowing, that self-confidence of, yeah, this is what I do. This, I want you to know that that's what I want to tell you that that is who I am.
Okay, so what's the difference between being someone who dances and being a dancer?
I won't ever call myself a dancer, but I do dance.
And why not?
But if I said I'm a dancer, I think that I would do it beyond just in my hallway with my Hue lights. I don't do it more than that.
Would you say that you're a photographer?
No.
Okay, so let's start off with, what are your slashies?
I am a digital entrepreneur. I am a cat photographer.
Two.
And a web designer.
Three. Okay, so you're not yet claiming podcast host.
No. Maybe once it's edited.
Okay.
But yeah, there's that weird, I guess, is that imposter syndrome?
That's part of it, right? Like I would say that I am a dancer, designer, thinker, and optimist.
Mm.
And those four things, they don't limit what I'm capable of or what I actually do. But those are the lenses through which I see all the things that I do. So yeah, I'm a writer, obviously, because I wrote a book. But the thing that makes me a writer is the fact that I'm a thinker, not the fact that I'm a writer.
It's such a...
And that's not imposter syndrome. That's just my self-perception.
Yeah.
And which imposter syndrome could be a part of.
Imposter syndrome is such a hard word. People are definitely feeling that in this day and age. I hear it being thrown around a lot. And I'm like thinking, wow, just like, imposter! Like, you're an imposter! Fuck. No? Just don't know web design that well, but you know.
Don't try to sell me you're a web designer.
Mm-mm, imposter.
Imposter.
Well, so I think when I left Activision, my full-time job, I didn't know necessarily what I wanted to do, even though Daniel and I were like, let's start a web business of some sort. We still didn't know what that was. I also didn't know who I was because I was already, I don't know, like 8 years in working in the world. And So I went through this slashy phase where I tried being a stylist. I tried being a photographer. I like just tried a few different things. Traveling. I tried to be a food blogger.
Yeah, that's what I remember that too.
Yeah. And then, and I think that was like a really good time because it was just these things that I was like, maybe I can do this. Maybe I can do this. Maybe I can do this. And then, but in, you know what? I don't feel like I really went as deep as I could have.
In any of the things?
Yeah.
So.
Because I was so afraid of, you know, like, if I do that, do I have to really label myself as that? And I had to think, like, before I took the class or before I reached out to someone and asked them help for it, I was thinking, wait a minute, do I need to commit to this? Is this something that I really want to do? And I think that mindset was silly because I didn't need to do that.
Okay, tell me more about this, like, decision to commit and go hard or go home versus trying things out. Like you're saying, it was maybe a little silly to think that you had to rush super hard into thing hard charging. It maybe was smarter to maybe dabble and give yourself permission to dabble here and dabble there.
Yeah. I was like, it needed to be more fun, to be honest.
Okay. Right. And this is my thing, but this is the thing where I feel like it can be. There are people that have strong feelings about the stuff that I actually do. And so I think by claiming something, what you're doing is saying, yeah, it's okay if you project onto me whatever association you have of that thing, mm-hmm. that whatever expectation. Mm-hmm. I'm creating an expectation by saying I'm an artist that I don't even want to carry right now. So that's why I don't carry it, even though I am. It literally says on my website, an interdisciplinary artist. But that's like in the context of my website.
Yeah.
At a party, I wouldn't say like I'm an artist. But then what does it mean to be a slashy? Do you have to have more than three things or?
Yeah. One slash is a slash. E.
Okay.
Yeah.
So like if I was a mom and a coder,
mm-hmm.
as long as you're like openly acknowledging those things, instead of just saying, yeah, I'm a doctor. Okay, well, cool. You're not claiming slashy because you're just claiming doctor. You're just telling us you're a doctor. Which That's all chill. You really want us to know. But you're not a slashy at that point.
You know where it first started? Mm. AOL. ASL.
Age, sex, location.
And then we're like past that. We're like, who cares about your age? Who definitely cares about your sex?
Sometimes.
And then your location doesn't really matter either.
Mm.
And now it's like, okay, well, what do you do? What are you about? And I think maybe later.
Maybe that's a better question.
Yeah.
What are you about?
What are you about?
You know, like, hey, if you were a book, if you were a movie,
mm-hmm.
what's the general synopsis?
Well, it would start with like, in a world.
Yeah.
In a world.
Because you have to establish scene.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The world is the scene where one girl who sits at every lunch table
mm-hmm.
and defies stereotypes and dances in her hallway.
Yeah.
While Daniel is just making oatmeal.
Totem, coming to a theater near you.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Maceo, I need to pause real quick because we actually have a sponsor for this episode.
Oh, what is it?
It's ilovecreatives.com.
Ooh, I love that.
Yeah. Well, okay. So I'm the founder of I Love Creatives and we're sponsoring our own show. Woo, woo.
Full transparency. Yeah. I love it.
Full. Yeah. It's all about bootstrapping yourself. So... there's a lot of fun things on there. We have a Squarespace design course that will teach you everything about Squarespace, but more so about designing websites. And it's super fun, gamified. And there's a community of over 800 students currently. So wow. Hop on, just go to ilovecreatives.com and we'll be there with open arms. We're a very positive community.
Awesome. Now back to it.
Cool. So I was talking to my friend a second ago, Hannah. She took our photos.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked her, I was like, hey, did you did you always go for fun? Was that always your thing? And she said, more so now, because before she felt like she needed to be responsible.
I literally almost spit out my beverage. When you said
the word responsible,
I was like, threw up in my mouth.
You were responsible, though.
I'm responsible, yeah. But I guess this is where we have to get into my life philosophy a little bit, which is my thing would be, in a world, one man defies responsibility by trying to make everything fun.
Damn.
And live in a way that's fun. And the reason I do that is because I think you can do things intentionally. I think you can be careful. I also think you can be precise, all while having fun. But I don't, but the word responsibility carries like a weight to it that immediately kind of sounds like obligation. It's like you have to do it. You have to, or something really bad is going to happen. Or something really bad is going to happen. Yeah. And I'm just like, well, you know what? What if I don't? And that thing happens and it's not that bad.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you don't pay your rent, you're going to get kicked out and you're going to be homeless and it's going to be horrible. And it's like, sure, that may be true. But guess what? That doesn't mean that every Monday I have to go to a place that I don't want to go just to keep an apartment. This apartment, I could either move into a different apartment that's cheaper, get a different job that pays me enough money to keep it that I like better. To me, it's like, how can I make this fun?
Yeah. And I think that's when she said why, that's why now she doesn't feel that way. Because she's been choosing fun financially more.
Mm-hmm.
And has been getting used to the living situation that you might have to be in.
Oh my God, it's like stand-up comedy, actually.
What do you mean?
I'm just realizing that my life philosophy is like stand-up comedy. In comedy, it's what's funny in this is the question. You know, your mom dies, you just broke up with somebody, you got your leg cut off.
Mm-hmm.
And the question is,
oh, fuck.
Yeah. And the question is, what's funny? Where's the funny in this?
Yeah.
And if you can answer that question,
right,
then you can tell a joke about it. And
right.
And when you're able to do that, it removes you from like the sadness of that moment. Because you can find the funny in it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what it is for me with life. Life is very grave and serious. But in every area of life, there is a little window there where fun can be found. And I just practice trying to find that window every time.
Right. Same. And I don't. Business is another thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, really, the part that people don't, at least creative people are always feeling like, this isn't fun. It's like the business stuff, a thing. The financial part of
things. Yeah, they're like,
I don't want to do the monies.
Yeah.
I don't want to deal with the monies.
Yeah, and I think that is real. You know, there are certain things that are just a drag. And, you know, we have a whole episode about that. But I think that the part about being a slashy is where you're going to explore how you can pick up different skills and perspectives. Like, how can I show up in this way where you own it?
Mm-hmm.
Like, when we were shooting, we had red and white. And then you're like, yeah, we do. We have red and white. How about we lean into it?
True. I did say that.
You know, it's like, yeah, we do. There is a lot of red and white.
There's like, I mean, I was wearing all white. He was wearing all red. Chinatown is red and white. Like, mostly red.
Yeah, mostly red. And we're like, yeah, well, guess what? This is happening.
Yeah.
We can just be in it.
Yeah.
And it became more fun.
Totally. I think that when I was pursuing my slashy phase, there were times where things became not fun.
Oh, tell me about that.
A stylist. I wanted to be a stylist for a second. And I hated lugging all those clothes to my car. And I hated putting all those clothes onto my credit card. Like, I was just like, this sucks. This is a drag.
Yeah, if they don't take it back, then you lose the money.
And it's all the off-gassing. of the clothes.
What's that?
Off, you know, like the chemicals that are on the clothes, it just like off gases onto your atmosphere. You know, when you go into a new car and it smells like that new car smell?
Yeah.
It's like off gassing. Or like you go into a new hotel.
So if you fill up your car with new clothes, then the off gassing.
You're just like, ugh. And then, I mean, I didn't even do that long. I didn't even do it that long. I was just like, I don't like this.
Mm-hmm.
It was just the fun didn't balance. It right. wasn't net fun.
Yeah. And that's kind of the key, is that maybe every single moment of every single day doesn't have to be fun. I think I approach it and in a way where the better and better I get at life, more and more of life is fun.
Mm-hmm.
But at least I'm netting fun.
Yeah.
Like with a high margin, actually.
Yeah. That's the goal.
Yeah.
You want a high margin of fun. And the other thing, when you're looking for fun and you're just like, okay, this is, for example, styling. The consequence or like the end result of being a stylist for me was not something I wanted to keep exploring, keep trying to figure out the fun stuff, because I was in my slashy phase. So I was ready to move on.
Yeah. You just like, hey, this isn't fun. Peace.
Yeah.
New career, new skill, new thing. Let's see if this is fun. Okay, cool. Let's try it out. You were dating jobs.
I was. But then I can see how, because I've seen some other people who do that.
They're serial monogamous jobs.
Yeah.
Right? And they're like dive into relationship
right.
after one date mm-hmm. with jobs.
Mm-hmm. Or you'll have some people who are like, I'm just going to keep moving on to things. And you're like, whoa. I feel like a lot of people think that about us. Actually, that's so true. Sometimes when I talk to people, they'd be like, what does Maceo do? Like, doesn't he do just too many things?
Yeah.
And I'm like, you're talking to the wrong person.
They're like, oh, yeah. Who am I even talking to?
Me. I do everything.
Yeah. And people will sometimes ask me, what do I do? And one, I think that's a bad question.
What are you about?
I think what am I about is a much better question. But I also think that sometimes I say I do whatever I want. You know, like if I'm interested in a field of study, I'll get good at it, study up on it, learn from the best, try to emulate for a while, then develop my own style. And then once I'm able to like develop my own style, then I know I'm ready to basically monetize, because then I'm able to offer something unique with my spin on it.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
for example, when you made Nutu,
right,
that was a big commitment.
Yeah. So how I viewed that was, I had all this experience.
Oh, sorry, for the listeners, what is Nutu?
Yeah, Nutu gallery and community space is a Chinatown. I founded it 3 and something years ago. And when I first did it, I was not a curator. I also wasn't that into the art world, but I was definitely a cultural producer, and I had been hosting events for like 5 years at large and small scale. And I had been working in retail operations for like 5 or 6 years. And I had, you know, so this...
You were at American Apparel.
Yeah. Yeah. So what I did was I said, well, let me leverage all this experience from retail and all this experience from being a cultural producer and like build a small space where I can try things out. And the first thought was to do it for a year or two and just to make a very light touch commitment. And honestly, the commitment was even lighter than that, because we got a 6-month lease with an option to extend.
Damn.
And so that's maybe like the first tidbit, is like, don't dive so deep so fast, you know.
Dabble.
Dabble.
Dibble dabble.
Dibble dabble.
I, as I've gone out of my slashy phase, what I am doing now is trying to make an ecosystem so that they build on each other.
Mm-hmm. Same.
Because to me, like, I still want to be a slashy, but I understand that there's not a lot of benefit of having them so siloed and so confusing that it's very hard for people to understand where to recommend you, to talk to you,
yeah.
to collaborate with you.
For me, it's just getting better at my storytelling, right? Because sure, they're like, wait, are you a photographer or are you a dancer? Because those two things don't go together. And I'm like, okay, cool. I can see how you're unable to see how being a dancer and a photographer.
Unless you started just like taking photos while you were dancing.
right, right. Oh, you're the dancing photographer? No, that's not, that's a cheesy way of smashing them together. But I guess what I'm saying is that like, if I can go one layer below or above the level of thinking that people are and I can bring them to that level, I would be able to say, no, actually, I'm a creative director. Oh.
Right. That's to me, like saying you're a creative director and like an artist is also weighty.
Yeah, but the reality is that if you're a creative director, you should be able to move through the disciplines of various forms of art, mm-hmm. kind of seamlessly, mm-hmm. at least as a manager, at least as a director. Like, you know, basically what you're saying is you know the ins and outs of either content creation or imagery or art.
I think that
like we were talking with a formal creative director and we don't even call ourselves that. And we were able to like hold our own for sure.
What do you mean?
Like, what do you want to talk about? You want to talk about marketing? You want to talk about aesthetic? You want to talk about design? You want to talk about kerning? Do you want to talk about typefaces? Do you want to talk about ISO, aperture, shutter speed? Do you want to talk about frames per second? I know enough about all of that stuff that I can communicate with a videographer, a web designer, a photographer, a choreographer, a photo retoucher, a color corrector.
Because you're a slashy.
Because I'm a slashy, but also another way that I would say a slashy is a generalist.
Yeah. Oh, and this goes back to the thing that...
Or because I have so many slashies. I have so many slashes. I'm actually a generalist.
That is what my students always have trouble with. Besides imposter syndrome, the next thing is I'm a master of none. And they feel really guilty about that.
Are you a master of none?
I don't think so.
I think I'm a master of one thing at least. And then there are other things that I do decent.
New Aziz Ansari television show, master of at least one thing.
And yeah. Like, as in terms of conceptual understanding, I'm an ideas person for ideas people. That is if you really wanted to put me in a bottle, I'm an ideas guy. Strategy, vision, bingo, all day, top tier.
I'm definitely not that.
Right?
Yeah.
I think you're more tactical. Mm-hmm. And I think...
Like, I brought all the mics.
Yeah. You're like, I think you're tactical and you know how to execute. At a, like, better... You know, it's even like in our working partnership, I'm like... You're like, where's the outline? And I'm like, cool, I'll just draft one right now. I can just produce that vision. I can just lay it out without even trying.
Well, yeah, that's what you're I think you're right. You are really good at high level thinking and outlines.
Yeah. I can take high level stuff and bring it down to size. And I think you're the person who can say, cool, without thinking too hard or without it sucking so much energy, I can start already working out either how much it's going to cost or what we're going to need. Some people, some resources, the timing to coordinate and arrange.
It's so easy.
Yeah.
You're right. It doesn't take a lot of energy for me to do that.
You're like resource management, like.
Yeah. And then when I was like, can you just come up with an outline? Because like that, if I had to come up with an outline when we talked to Alexis.
Yeah.
I would have probably worked on that for an hour.
Yeah.
Whereas like if I needed to figure out how to do our calendar situation and blah, 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 that was probably like 15, 20 minutes.
Right. And that's why I was very quickly like, okay, cool. I'm sales. I'm content. You're production. Mm-hmm. And also I think, I don't know which of us is faster or better at it, but I think that might be our top tier skills, like our 9 and 10 out of 10 skills. Mm-hmm. But then we are both, I think, pretty good aesthetes, you know? I think you're a better designer than me. But I think we both have an I, you know?
Yeah.
So that's what I mean by it's not master of none, but it's like what I would tell people is have one thing that you're a master of, that you can crush it. And then you can have as many things as you want that support that because that's what's going to give you autonomy.
So for anybody who had just quit their job, was super burnt out, what would you tell them to do next?
I would say that first thing I would try to do is to do the thing that I was doing for wage as a freelancer.
What's that?
Whatever you were doing at your job, try to do that as a freelancer. Because then you are at least only learning, then the new skills that you're picking up are how to run a business, not trying to learn how to run a business and also try to learn how to be a designer. And you've never been a designer. So like if you were an accountant, go be a freelance accountant. If you were a designer, go be a freelance designer.
Did I ever tell you about Prof G's, that three jobs thing?
Let's explain it now.
It's my favorite. Because
it doesn't even matter if you told me.
Yeah, that's right. To the audience. This is my one of my favorite things. I talk about it every time. But it gave me a lot of relief when I quit my job because I felt like, I mean, I quit a high-paying job and a lot of people think, oh, that was a cool job. So they're like, well, what are you doing now?
That was so good that you quit this cool, high-paying job.
Exactly.
And you're like, whatever I want. I'm actually floundering in the creative seas. I'm actually just treading water. But I feel a lot better.
I'm just gyrating in front of the mirror. I was like, okay, I was feeling like I needed to be 100% full passion. And what Prof G said in his book, You Are a Circle, was that most creatives need to have three jobs at once. They have to juggle three jobs. They have to be a slashy jobber, whatever. And they have to, your first job doesn't have to be fulfilling at all. Let me say that one more time. Your first job doesn't have to be fulfilling at all, but it does need to bring in money. The second job doesn't have to bring in too much money, and it doesn't have to be too fulfilling. And then your third job has to be full fulfilling, but it does not need to make any money.
Yep.
And if you put a few hours in each of those every week, eventually one job will graduate to the next.
Yes. I would say that I love that. I love that a lot. And the one that I teach is Ikigai.
Ikigai.
I-K-I-G-A-I. And that's Japanese for purpose.
Oh, I thought it was like the guy that puts like gum under the table.
No. He's the Ikigai. He's Ikigai. Not Ikigai.
You can't get it out of your head.
Now I see that. Now people are going to be like, oh, that was a fun episode. I'm like, no, you missed the point.
Okay, Ikigai.
So Ikigai is this Japanese word, and there's four circles. And it's, what are you good at?
Is this in Tao of Maceo?
Yes.
Yes.
What are you good at? What can you be paid for? What does the world need? And what do you enjoy? And then you create a Venn diagram of those four things, and the thing that's dead center is the thing that's your purpose. So it's like, think of it as a checklist. What does the world need? What can you be paid for? What do you enjoy? And what are you good at?
Can we do it?
Yeah.
Okay.
So like pick something even in your life. Any of the things
my purpose. I want to figure out what my purpose is.
Well, let's use a task. Like you take pictures of Maudeep.
Mm-hmm. Maudeep.
Maudeep, right?
Maudeep.
Maudeep. Oh my God. Can you do that photo spread, please? Maudeep as Mobb Deep.
That music is so hard.
Yeah. It would be difficult for her to pull that off.
Yeah. I was like, I thought I wanted to go there and I was like, damn, it's like, this is not her, you know,
no
vibe.
No. Well, so you're a cat photographer. Let's see. Is that what the world needs?
The world needs, people love Maudeep because it makes them feel better.
Okay. Are you good at it?
At taking the photos? I feel like I'm better than other cat photographers are.
Do you enjoy it?
Yes.
Can you be paid for it?
I think so.
Just?
Yes.
How?
So we've done influencer stuff, but I think we need to make product, like tarot cards with Mobb Deep.
Okay, so product. Mm-hmm. So first thing is realizing that you're not being paid to take the photos. You're being paid to sell a product.
Right.
Because the business isn't taking pictures of your cat.
No.
Right? The business is selling the pictures of your cat on things.
Totally.
So it's a little different. Mm-hmm. So that one's not your purpose.
Okay.
But it's definitely a vocation.
It's not my purpose because...
Like, that's not the thing that you can, like, lean all your eggs in that basket.
Wait, why?
Because if you can't be paid for it, then you're going to be doing something else to support that.
Oh, like making tarot cards.
Like making tarot cards.
Damn.
You wanted to push back.
No, I that's a really interesting thing.
Yeah, well, I think that's the key, is realizing what business you're actually in.
Okay, can we right? do it again?
Yeah.
I love creatives.
Does the world need it?
So we're leaning more on education now.
Okay, so I love creatives. The world needs education. Mm-hmm. Actually, let's go back. Why are you leaning more on education?
I found that, well, at first we started with classifieds and jobs. And I put a job out there. And the applicants that I got, I realized there's a big skill gap. Mm-hmm. And I was like, wait, where are they going to learn this? Like, if you go to art school, you're not going to learn how to do Squarespace websites.
No.
But I, like, still made a good amount of money from it. So how is that not a job? Mm-hmm. And so I was like, I think that people don't have, like, a place where they can go to learn from someone who actually made that kind of money.
So it's not that they didn't need the way that it was set up before. Is that you realize there was also a maybe bigger need for education?
Yeah.
Okay.
And it needs to be fun. And it needs to be gamified. And it needs to have community. And it needs to be online.
Yeah, sure.
So it's not so expensive.
Yeah. So the world needs. It's what the world needs. Are you good at it?
I think so.
Yeah. Are you good at it as good as you are at other things?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Mm-hmm. Do you enjoy it?
Yes.
Okay.
There's some parts of it that I don't enjoy, but I feel like... I think that's like...
It nets fun.
Yeah, net
fun. Yeah. Okay. And then...
That's a good shirt.
Yeah. And then... can you be paid for it?
Yeah.
Okay. So we just discovered the thing that is dead center in your professional life that fully aligns with who you are as a person. And you can generate money at it. And so, like, you don't have to try too hard to be great at running I Love Creatives. You just have to try hard at being great at being Puno. And the better you are at being yourself, the better you are at running I Love Creatives. Because there is a complete alignment.
Damn.
That's the thing that I think of when I think of, like, purpose. It's like, what is the thing that the better you get at being who you are, then the better you are at your career?
Puno.
Mm.
You want to know what one of my favorite things is?
What?
Ice cream. But it's like life for me. And as a matter of fact, I built an entire workshop around building your own sundae, which is a model for how you can use that same framework for building an incredible sundae to help you design your own life. If you're wondering...
Is it bananas?
It is absolutely bananas. If you're someone out there who's wondering how to get your life back on track after COVID-19, maybe you want to start with eating a quart of ice cream with me, and you're going to build your own sundae. It's going to get you right on track. Establishing your goals and your vision, and you're going to work towards that. It's kind of like life coaching with dairy and sugar.
Ah, oh, that sounds delicious. Also, do you remember ice cream sandwiches from Baskin Robbins?
I do.
Oh, next workshop.
Yeah. So if you're interested in that, go to citizensofculture.com.
Sweet. So I guess we have to go back to the episode now.
Oh, yeah. Let's go. I'll meet you there.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye. And that is the part about Slashy that I think is so important for people to go through in their life. It's like, I feel like if they can have all these experiences, have all these new personality traits, have deeper personality meanings, like have deeper meanings to their personality, then they become more interesting in general. Mm-hmm. It's easier to make friends. It's easier to make people feel comfortable because you're comfortable.
You have more to talk about. Yeah, and you're more passionate about the things you do talk about. Let's go back to the Muad'Dib photography thing. I wasn't saying that you shouldn't do it. All I wanted to do is highlight.
Oh, I just like texted. I was like, scrap it. Let's not do
it. No, all I was doing was highlighting that there may be an expiration date on that.
No doubt. And I'm right? Okay with that.
So you can have 3 out of 4. You can have 2 out of 4. You can have 1 out of 4. It's just like less. You probably won't do that for your entire life. You probably would exhaust, right? Like running ILC has the kind of capacity as a project that you could do for 10 or 15 years.
When you think about this, do you do that for yourself? Is it because this is interesting? This is like a new revelation of like, I just didn't think that you thought that way about the longevity or having to commit to something so intensely. Like, I also feel like
I would say this way, what looks like from the outside that I'm doing 9 different things is just people's inability to draw correlations between all 9 of those things.
That's true.
That because I'm behind the scenes, I totally see.
When we met 2014, do you think that you could have done the Ikigai? It's 2019 right now.
Right. I think I would have worked. I think the past 6 years has been about stitching together the things that were disparate and carving off, trimming the fat of things that were not. Right. So like.
That is like the '30s.
Yeah.
That's what you do in your 30s.
Right. Like, it's like, you know what? I don't need to do that anymore. It's not worth my time.
What was that? What was one of them?
You know, like for one is like my photography practice. I still have the skill of taking pictures of people, but that doesn't serve my greater goals. So if I need to take a picture, I can do it. But like, it's more likely that I'll just hire a photographer to take the pictures.
What about acting?
Acting is probably in the future, but it's not in the right now.
Socks?
Socks totally was not in the picture. It was just, it was so far away and so, and pulled so much energy away from the things I was legitimately interested in, which was designing, making colorful combinations and having a style and having a brand to speak about. And so I realized I don't need a sock company to have something to talk about. I don't need a sock company to be a designer.
To be honest, I think it's like that is something in the future of you. You just need an investor.
Yeah, no, it was more like, do I want to run a manufacturing business?
Exactly.
Do I run and that's the reality is that like
that's your
brand spokesperson? Sure. Designer? Sure. Fashionista? Sure.
Fulfillment?
No.
Customer service?
No.
E-commerce? Right? E-commerce
backend? No.
Right? Manufacturing?
Manufacturing? No. Right? And so I was like, oh, let me just pull apart the things that I'm really like in this for and see if I can get those things in other projects. And then like stop messing around with like a ton of boxes surrounding my bed when I know I should be doing third-party logistics, but I'm too bogged down with current orders to like investigate and start my third-party logistics. And now because I'm backordered, I'm also in debt. And because I'm in debt, I'm also stressed. And now I'm actually unhappy.
Right. See, I had the same idea. I was like, or at least Daniel and I was like, I want to have enough money that I can play. Daniel's like, I want to have enough money so he could just read and experiment and do whatever he does.
Mm-hmm.
And so we were like, how do we make money so we can build the money? I mean, how do we make money so that we have enough time to build the thing that will make money easier?
Right. You want to generate your own capital.
So then we didn't take VC funding because that's the most stressful way to make money for me. And then, so I bootstrapped and I did the Squarespace design because I did something that I did already.
And that's the thing they don't tell you when you're bootstrapping is that if you're time per money ratio is even 1 to 1, that's way too low.
That's way too low.
Yeah, it needs to be like 1 to 10.
Yeah, margins.
Yeah.
Net fun.
Like a lot.
A lot.
Because you still need extra energy and time and creativity to do the thing that you actually want to do.
And so I slashed it up by, I made that spreadsheet, do the math. And I said, okay, I mean, this was 3 years in. So this is 3 years understanding the business of Squarespace freelancing, which didn't happen overnight.
Yeah.
And I basically was like, okay, I can work 2 hours a day because I need an extra 2 to 4 hours a day to work on the next business.
Yeah.
So I did that. And now I could, I was like, okay, now that business is making enough. So this business can now freelance.
That's your
business.
Three circles.
What?
You're like, cool, I have my...
Oh, read the jobs.
But your jobs, you're like, cool, I need this 2 hours a day job that makes money, doesn't have to give me any joy.
Right.
And then the other 4 hours or 5 hours a day can be the other two circles.
Mm-hmm. And then cat photography.
Yeah.
And so, and then now that's where I'm at. I'm at this point where I have I Love Creatives and that's making the money.
Mm-hmm.
Now, because it's bigger, the ratio is off.
Mm-hmm.
So I need to, I'm working on not just the accounting of the actual dollars,
yeah,
but of my effort.
For me, money isn't the end all be all. Money is just the thing that stands in the way of me having time to do whatever else I want to do.
Mm-hmm.
And so like money's not the important thing. My time and energy is the important thing.
Yeah. So slashies out there, embrace it. I mean, if it like going back to what I wish I did better was find the fun in the slashy process and not have to be so responsible. Or if you are, just find the thing that will bring you money so that you can just kind of compartmentalize it and you don't have to, the potential fun stuff doesn't have to have so much pressure.
Yeah.
Well, thanks so much for listening. And we want to hear your trailers at some point. In a world. Well, that was a fun episode.
They all are.
They all are. So if you felt that way too, we would love it if you could, well, Maceo, could you tell them what they should do?
If you could, just go ahead and drop us a million stars or as many as you think are worthy as a little review and maybe tell us what you liked about it.
Yeah. And then our parents will be proud of us.
I can feel it already.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
It's fun
with Puno
and Maceo. Maceo and Puno.
It's Puno and Maceo.
Whatever.